Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Live from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg, I'm Kelly Sander along with Dima Mixon and producer-engineer Michael Mergens. Glad that you're with us on the Eagle Hour. Still to come, Craig Stevenson will be joining us from AL.com. He's covered the South Alabama Jaguars for 10 years. Nobody knows the Jags like he does. We're going to see what Southern Miss might be in store for this weekend, plus other sports news potentially out of Alabama, including coaching search at Auburn. And then later on in the program, we'll get the Southern Miss perspective with Lee Roberts, the color analyst for the Southern Miss Radio Network. This first segment brought to you by Dickie's Barbecue Pit. Smoked here, loved everywhere. Leave the holiday cooking to Dickie's, including all the side dishes, whether you have a big catering event or small catering event. And not just Thanksgiving, but keep them in mind for Christmas office parties as well. You'll be glad you did. Dickie's Barbecue Pit, a big supporter of Southern Miss athletics. So as we mentioned, Craig Stevenson joins us now as we go down to Mobile. And I don't know, I know that parts of the movie, Craig, I know parts of the movie Forrest Gump were filmed in Alabama, but I don't know that it was filmed in Mobile, but you think that this Jaguar team is kind of like a box of chocolates and you don't know what you're going to get, right?
That's quite a segue there.
That's a long way.
I will say this. It wasn't actually filmed in Alabama. It
okay.
was filmed in South Carolina, but it is set partly in Alabama. And actually, Bubba was from Biola Battery, which is where my wife is from. So there you go.
I knew, not only do you know the South Al Jaguars, but Forrest Gump lore as well.
That's right. Yeah, this is a really hard to predict South Alabama team. You know, they obviously got brutalized through the portal like everybody other than Southern Miss did during the past offseason. And lost a lot of skill guys on offense, lost a lot of defensive backs in particular. Their defense actually, in a relative sense, has been okay. You know, they're statistically one of the top three or four or five in the Sun Belt. But offensively, they just had real trouble moving the ball and scoring consistently. The running game's been pretty good. The passing game's not been good. They've had some offensive line injuries the last few weeks and really had to shuffle some things there. So are they better than 3-7? Possibly. Do they deserve 3-7? Probably.
Do they deserve a point and a half underdog against Southern Miss?
That's a good question. I'm sure a lot, you know, most of that is because of Braylon Braxton's status. Yeah. You know, I think if he's 100% healthy and ready to go, Southern Miss is probably a 4 or 5 point favorite at least. I don't know. I'm not an odds maker, but I would think so. It did surprise me that it was that low. But then again, like I said, when the candidate for conference player of the year is not going to play, obviously, or might not play, that affects the line. But yeah, you know, South Alabama's 5-0 all time against Southern Miss,
right.
Although none of those Southern Miss teams were particularly good.
Yeah.
And most of those South Alabama teams were better than this one.
What's your read, Craig, on what the Jags are thinking as to whether Braxton will play or not?
I think that they're preparing for both guys. I asked about that the other day, defensive coordinator Will Windham. You know, he said that both of them are pretty good throwers, so we're worried about that. You know, and again, when you're 3-7, I don't think you can really take anything for granted. But I think they're preparing, for both guys, and maybe hoping that it's Liddy, but we'll see.
Now you played at Monroe last week.
That's right.
And the difference in the way that the Jags played in the first and second half was like night and day, a great second half.
Yeah, they actually got down 14-0 about 6-7 minutes into the game. They had a bad punt on the opening. Well, they, first of all, they fair caught the kickoff and fumbled it, which meant you get the ball where you recover it. And then they had a bad punt that was returned to the 29, and ULM scored, and then they fumbled, and ULM ran it in for a touchdown. But after that, yeah, they dominated. I mean, they won 26-14. ULM, I think, had 9 first downs total, 150-something yards of offense. Best defensive effort by far. You know, ULM's not very good. We know that. But it definitely gives them a little bit of confidence. It's just a matter of what the offense is going to be able to do. They have started taking some more shots down the field, although that's dangerous against a team with like Southern Miss with 20 interceptions. So I expect the Jags to be fairly conservative in this one.
Something we saw Texas State do, Craig, is, you know, quick passes, get the running back out, and don't press the ball down the field. When I was looking at the South Alabama offense, it seems like they rely on the run, and like you said, they don't throw the ball downfield that much, so it seems like this offense might could exploit some of the things that Texas State was able to exploit last week on the Golden Eagle defense.
Yeah, I'm sure they watched that film and took some notes, you know, for sure, like they always do, but especially because that's the only first time, you know, since early in the season anybody's been able to do that to Southern Miss. And yeah, you know, if you've watched Texas play, South Alabama's offense is very similar to Texas. You know, it Applewhite and Sarkisian work together at Alabama, and they all kind of come out of that tree where the screen game is very important, quick hitters to receivers very important, and running the ball. You know, they will run the ball some with the quarterback, Bishop Davenport, but not a whole lot. They really rely on the back. Kentrell Bullock's a pretty good back. Keenan Phillips, who's a JUCO transfer, is a pretty good number two guy. P.J. Martin, who was their number two guy originally, is out for the year. But, yeah, they want to control the ball. You know, Major Applewhite despite his Big 12 background, is a pretty conservative offensive coach. He wants to control the ball, control the clock, and keep the other offense off the field.
So what has been the feedback about the emergence of Southern Miss this season? I mean, could potentially go from worst to first in the West.
Yeah. Well, obviously it's unusual circumstances. You don't see a team, you know, get a coach of Charles Huff's caliber does not typically become available at this level, you know. Obviously there was, you guys know what went on at Marshall and why he left there, but the fact that he was able to bring a big chunk of his team through the transfer portal, it's impressive what they've done, but it's completely understandable and to me not terribly surprising. I thought they would be good this year. I wasn't sure they would be the best team in the West, which they have been for the most part, but I thought they'd be a lot better. And you know, we've seen that in other places. Pignetti going to Indiana, bringing a bunch of his guys from James Madison. Bob Chesney going to James Madison, bringing a bunch of his guys from Holy Cross. We've seen it, you know, offensive coordinators leaving. Obviously, Oklahoma brought a bunch of guys from Washington State when their offensive coordinator came in. So it's very much a quick fix thing. It's interesting. Obviously, Southern Miss have been down for a good long while. Everybody knows what their tradition is, but I'm not really surprised they were able to do it just because of the talent influx.
You're right to say it was a very, you know, unique situation with Huff. And I think that might be the answer that a lot of people have of, you know, a team like South Alabama, major turnover, of course, so many new players, almost all across group of five teams, you see that, major turnovers, and it takes 4, 5, 6 games to really, you know, gel together. But for the Southern Miss team, it seemed like, you know, they've you know, just come out of nowhere almost. But the reason for that, like you're saying, is because Huff was able to bring some of his players over from Marshall. But when you look at the Southern Miss team, you could also point to the fact that there were a lot of transfers they got that needed to be good who have been great.
Yeah, no question. I think you're absolutely right about that. And, you know, we don't always see guys, even within the same conference, transfer in and be good, or guys that were playing in the SEC or Big 12 or whatever that weren't playing at all come down to the Sun Belt. And, you know, sometimes they're really good and sometimes they're not. But, yeah, right. It seems like Southern Miss has hit on just about every one of them. I personally think Charles Huff is an excellent coach.
Yeah.
Southern Miss is very fortunate to have him. You know, I think he's a future SEC head coach somewhere, or maybe, you know, in the ACC because he's from that part of the world. But, yeah, he's done a fantastic job. I mean, I think he's probably Sun Belt Coach of the Year, I would think.
Craig Stevenson with us from AL.com has covered the South L Jaguars for some 10 years now. We're going to go into a commercial break shortly, Craig, and on the other side of the break, we'll talk about the Sun Belt Conference in particular. I know you cross a lot of T's and dot a lot of I's there, but before we go into commercial break, just wanted to get your spin on Auburn, too, because you hear so much about the LSU and Florida chess match, maybe or maybe not going on with Lane Kiffin. And quietly, Auburn has been doing what it's been doing. What that is, we don't know. But what's your educated guess at this point as to who winds up being the head man on the Plains?
I think it's John Sumrall from Tulane. He has a lot of connections to that part of the state. His wife is an Auburn graduate. He coached at Troy. He is recruited all over that part of the world. Auburn, at Auburn, you have to be able to recruit Georgia, and he did that while he was at Troy and some other places, Ole Miss and Kentucky, as an assistant. So I think that's going to be the guy. I know the high school coaches in the state love him. They think he's a great recruiter, and that's what you have to be at Auburn. I think he's going to be the guy. It is interesting that, you know, Auburn is not the best job available, obviously, because LSU and Florida are open. But we did see yesterday that there was supposed to be an interview scheduled at Florida with Sumrall, and then it got canceled or never existed or whatever it was. So, but I think all signs point to the fact that it's going to be John Sumrall. If not him, potentially DJ Durkin, the interim head coach, potentially I don't know where they go after that.
All right, Craig Stevenson, more with Craig Stevenson of AL.com in just a moment.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
This segment brought to you by Eagle Tire West, their new location on Highway 98 West, up by the Lake Serene area, if you know Hattiesburg pretty well. Matt Warren and all the crew out there invite you out there for premium Goodyear products, full auto and truck service at Eagle Tire West. They're actually right next to Smith Motor Company as well, and always big supporters of Southern Miss. They've had family-owned businesses around the area from the 80s. So you know what you're getting, good, consistent, quality work from Eagle Tire West, and we're glad that they're with us here on the Eagle Hour. We continue our discussion with Craig Stevenson from AL.com. Before we get talking about the Sun Belt, as promised, he also covers Troy a little bit, and of course you'd have to be living in a cave if you're a Southern Miss fan not to know that the Trojans will be here the Saturday after Thanksgiving, and I know Coach Huff and company have got their nose to the grindstone dealing with South Al, but then Troy comes to town, which could very well be for the West Division title. Sum up Troy for us, Craig, while we've got your expertise on the phone here.
Yeah, they are very much improved, even within the season, because they started out 1-2. Their starting quarterback got hurt. They were trailing Buffalo 17-0 going into the fourth quarter. And I said, well, I mean, it's going to be another 2 or 3 win year. And then they came back in that one, and then all of a sudden they rattled up 4 wins in a row. They have lost the last two, which I thought was going to knock them out of the West Division until Southern Miss lost to Texas State, obviously. And now, assuming Troy takes care of business against Georgia State and assuming Southern Miss takes care of business against South Alabama, or even if they don't, that game in Hattiesburg is going to be for the West. Arkansas State, I think Troy would win any three-way tie because they only have one loss in the division. But the head-to-head obviously would come into play as well, and Southern Miss has the tiebreak on Arkansas State. So, they're much better. They hit on some transfers on the offensive side of the ball, especially at receiver, and their defense is loaded with seniors. I was counting it up today because actually, you know, Saturday is their senior day, and they have something like, I don't know, I would say 14 or 15 of their top 17 guys on defense are seniors. So they are loaded with experience. They brought in some transfers, but also some guys that have been in the program for a while. So they're very solid. Jared Parker has done a pretty good job with that team, even though, like I said, the last 2 weeks they have really taken a step back. Old Dominion just crushed them up there a week ago tonight, but or Thursday night. But anyway, it was they're an improved team, man. They're one of the surprises in the league, I think.
Well, we're going to have you back on next week to preview that game. But do you think that, you know, hypothetically, if Troy were to lose on Saturday and Southern Miss wins, you know, Southern Miss would win the West. I don't think that's going to happen. Georgia State's just been terrible. But I guess put that at ease to Southern Miss fans that Georgia State more than likely will not beat Troy on senior day at Troy.
No, Georgia State's not going to win, I don't think. I mean, they're not bad offensively. They do have one of the best players in the league in Ted Hurst, who's their receiver, and Cam Brown, the quarterback that took over at midseason, has been pretty solid, but they just can't stop anybody. They're giving up like 39 or 40 points a game. So I expect Troy to win that one. But, yeah, it is interesting that, if Southern Miss had beaten Texas State last week, they would be coming to Mobile with a chance to win the West. And obviously South Alabama didn't want that to happen on their field. But now it can't happen, but still, you know, that game next week is going to be massive.
All right, if we take for granted that Southern Miss is the most pleasant surprise in the West, and I think we can probably all agree on that, who's been, Craig, in your view, the biggest disappointment in the West this season?
Oh, it's Texas State by far.
No doubt.
I mean, they were the preseason favorite, and their defense is just brutal. They're leaving for the Pac-12, so I don't think anybody's sad to see them getting their brains beat out most every week, even though they did beat Southern Miss. But they just can't stop anybody. You know, G.J. Kenny is the hottest coach in the league, and they're talking about how he's going to get a power conference job, and they lock him up to this huge buyout, and then all of a sudden they're giving up 38 points a game or whatever it is. So them by far. South Alabama has been a little bit of a disappointment. Louisiana to a degree as well, but it's Texas State.
I hear what you're saying about Texas State's defense, but it looked pretty doggone good last week.
Well, I mean, yeah, I know. But if Southern Miss was at full strength, I think that's a different game.
How far ahead do you think James Madison is from Southern Miss and maybe even a Troy if they were to get there?
Yeah, I wondered about that going into the year because James Madison in the past has had a slip-up. And, you know, they still got two games left, so it could still happen. You know, they lost at ULM last year. Mm-hmm. The year before that, they got beat right at the end of the regular season by Georgia Southern, I think. But they got Washington State and Coastal Carolina left. So they look like the real deal, man. I watched that game against Old Dominion. That was on a Thursday night, I think, or Wednesday night, whatever it was, and they just looked like a machine, and they've just been carving everybody up for the last several weeks. They had a tough game at Marshall, but, yeah, I don't understand that. Maybe that 14-7 win over Georgia State is their slip-up, even though they won.
Yeah.
But yeah, it looks like to me they're a machine, man. They're going to be tough to beat.
All right, so let's look at the East then.
Especially there.
Again, it's probably a given that, as Demon just mentioned, James Madison, we can all agree, the cream of the crop in the East. But other than that, I would suggest that Old Dominion has been a nice surprise.
Yes, absolutely. Ricky Ronnie came into this season on the hot seat. There was talk that he might not make it out of this year. But, yeah, they have put together a nice season. They have not been, totally consistent, because they lost to Marshall and really got hammered in that game and then, you know, got whipped by James Madison too. But they've been great the last few weeks. They totally destroyed Troy. Their defensive front is really good. I think Colton Howard, is it Howard? Whatever his name is. Quarterback, he might be the player of the year in the conference. He's really, really good.
All right, so if we – based on what we said about James Madison and what you talked about Georgia State being at the bottom, but that's pretty much expected. So, so who's the biggest disappointment? Would it be Marshall? Would it be App State?
No, I think you give Marshall a pass because they lost their coach and their whole team. I mean, I can't put them for where they are. If they get bowl eligible, I think that's a big win.
I was about to say that. I think they've had a better season than I actually thought they were going to have.
Yeah, for sure. Probably App State, which has really taken a turn the last couple of years. You know, Sean Clark, the longtime coach, got fired. You know, he actually died early this season.
Right.
He was coach at UCF. But they've been just not totally terribly competitive. I think Georgia Southern, I think when Clay Helton got that job, people thought that they would be a contender by this time, and it just doesn't look like it's going to happen. So, yeah, I would say Georgia Southern, App State are probably the disappointments over there. And I do think that Georgia State, we thought, at least I thought, when Del McGee got that job, they were going to be able to recruit at a level to where they would be better by now.
I wanted to shift gears to basketball a little bit.
Yeah.
And something that Kelly says a lot, seems like the thorn in the side for Keith Gill is Sun Belt basketball, of course. South Alabama starting off pretty strong there in basketball. But where do you see the league this year? And to me, I feel like we just keep taking a step back in the Sun Belt basketball realm.
Yeah, they have it just seems like the talent drain has every year is at a devastating level for everybody. And even South Alabama lost a guy that was from Mobile that was one of the best players in the league, and he left, Barry Dunning. But, yeah, South is decent. They did beat Jacksonville State up there, which is a solid win for them. They've got UAB this weekend, which, you know, if they can win that one, they would be good. But, yeah, this is the best start they've had in school history, which is pretty which is something considering they had some really good teams back in the old days with Ronnie Arrow and Cliff Ellis. But, yeah, the league as a whole, I don't know. I do think Arkansas State had a coaching change. Are they going to be as good this year? I think James Madison is always solid. Troy, Scott Cross, to me, might be the best coach in the league. He has done a really good job with them. They won at San Diego State, which was a team that was kind of on the verge of being a top 25 team. They beat them out there. So I think they're going to be a really solid team as long as he's there. But, yeah, I mean, unless they expand the NCAA tournament, which looks like it's going to happen, it just seems like the Sun Belt's going to be a one-bid league again.
And I think, I think that's probably the foreseeable future. And the running joke in Hattiesburg, Craig, is that that Jay Ladner may be recruiting players up at the United Nations.
Oh my goodness!
Because I mean, there's been an international flavor here for a long time.
But yeah, had all those guys from Puerto Rico for a long time.
Yeah, but and where I'm going with this is with 363 Division I basketball teams or however many. I mean, there's only so many players to go around. It would not surprise me that the dip into the international pool continues for a lot of teams around the country.
Yeah, I was watching Alabama and Illinois the other night, and I know it's a different level than Sun Belt, but they had three guys from Serbia and two guys from Croatia on their team, including Peja Sojakovic's son. So, yeah, I think that's definitely become a thing. If the guys that are not good enough to jump straight to the NBA out of the European League come to college, and we've seen that in a lot of places. South Alabama's done that a little bit. They had a guy from Australia a couple of years ago. They had a guy from Brazil for a while. So, I mean, it's an untapped market. I think a lot of those guys, you probably don't have to pay them as much other than to give them a scholarship and an education. That seems to, still go a long way with those guys, when it doesn't necessarily with the American players all the time. So, it's a good thinking on that. You might up the international recruiting budget.
It has been frustrating for Commissioner Keith Gill because he's always wanted to improve the league. But when you ask everybody, well, how do you do that? Nobody has the answer to the $64,000 question, Craig. Do you?
Yeah, no. But I started to hear this a lot during the offseason. The frustrating part is that, part of the reason I think South Alabama is 6-0 is because they weren't able to schedule those big money games against Alabama, Auburn. So, Ole Miss teams they played in the last few years, because those teams don't want to schedule your low mid majors anymore. They want to schedule a SWAC team they can beat by 50, or they want to schedule a Big Ten or ACC or whatever team that will help their net ranking and their RPI. If Alabama were to lose to South Alabama, it would kill their net,
Right.
And they just don't want to take the chance of that anymore.
Craig Stevenson's work you can see on AL.com. Craig, a native of Pascagoula, Mississippi, actually. Thanks for joining us, buddy. We always appreciate your insight.
Yeah, man, anytime.
All right, South Al and Southern Miss getting ready to play football this weekend in Mobile. Lee Roberts will give us the Southern Miss perspective next.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
This segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you by DBAT. DBAT training right off of Interstate 59. In Hattiesburg. It's the off season, if there is one, for travel baseball and softball. And this is the time you want to keep steady with the consistent cuts that you get at the DBAT machines. You can set the pitching machines to fastballs, curveballs, changeups, whatever you want. And it's always meticulously clean and well taken care of. DBAT, don't forget their memberships on sale for Christmas as well. DBAT, proud to be a sponsor of the Eagle Hour. And a shout out to MCS Home Center, home repair, remodeling, construction, everything you need for your next project, for your home, lawn, or garden, is available at MCS Home Center in Bellevue. It's Hattiesburg's new home improvement center with local folks eager to help you. They're just past Highway 589 on Highway 98 as you're going west in Hattiesburg. Well, we mentioned the 2:30 kickoff this coming Saturday. Sunbelt football, the Golden Eagles travel to South Al to try to figure out how to do something they've never done before. That's beat South Alabama in football. And joining us now on the phone is a guy who beat a lot of teams that that maybe Southern Miss had not beaten before, and that's Lee Roberts. Lee, how do they do it this Saturday? How do they beat South Al?
Man, it's gonna be a tough task, obviously. I feel like this is a team that can be that first team to beat South Alabama, but hey, they got to play better than they did last weekend. I know that's for sure. I think you got to go in. You got to be able to move the ball. You got to be able to score. This is a team that's going to run the ball effectively. So we got to be able to stop the run. I've kind of said this most of the year. I don't think we've put together a full game. It's going to take that this weekend.
Lee, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on the possibility of Braylon playing or not playing. There's a debate this week about the game on Saturday not mattering as far as the West implications. Do you play Braylon if he is, 80-85%, or do you rest him for next week's game that's far more important as far as the West Division goes?
I could see both scenarios. I mean, I could see Braylon getting some playing time just to try to, get himself ready for next week. But I could also see the same scenario or the other scenario, sitting him and having him 100% for Troy. I'm not the guy, obviously, to make that decision. You got to trust Coach Huff and Coach Anderson in that regard. I know if you ask Braylon, he's going to want to play. He's a competitor. He came out last weekend and, warmed up. I know it was kind of a game time decision last week, and I would anticipate it being that way again with him. But he's a guy that he wants to play, but I know Coach Huff doesn't want to put him in a situation that's going to hurt him or hurt the team. And I know last week going with Liddy, it was kind of one of those things where, hey, you got a guy that's 100% that proved the previous week he can move the football. And Braylon wasn't going to be the answer last week. We don't win that game if Braylon plays. I think it was just one of those things that Texas State came in and just had our number. And I would love to say, hey, Braylon's going to play, but I'm not 100% what the call will be.
Obviously, you're a former player. How much do you think coaches, especially a coach like Coach Huff, I think one of his biggest strengths is his, relationship with his players. I think that's like one of his biggest strengths that he has. And you see it all across his team. Every one of them says, I love playing for him. How much do you think, Huff looking Braylon in the eyes and saying, are you good? And Braylon saying, yes, goes into the decision?
I think it could for sure. Like I said, Braylon, he's going to want to play.
Right.
But I think Coach Huff is going to be able to read whether he's 100% or not. Yeah. And, again, that's going to be, a decision that he works with Aaron and the athletic training staff to make sure that that he is ready. I could see Huff for sure going to Braylon and trying to get an honest answer. But kind of to your point, I agree with you. He is a player's coach. You can see it. He's a focused guy, but on the sideline, man, he cuts up with those guys. He has a great relationship with those players, and he has a lot of fun. And it's fun to see him having fun because that means we're playing well.
Lee Roberts, you, of course, were a great quarterback. Quarterbacks are kind of coaches on the field on the offensive side of the ball. Would you not be shocked if South Al did not come out and try to run it down the Eagles' throats like the Bobcats did last week?
No, I think that's their strength. That's what they do so well, and I think that's exactly what they'll do. And they've got the game film from last week. They saw that the success that Texas State had in running the football, and I think that's what their plan will be as well. So it's going to be a key for our defense is being able to stop their run, and they've got a quarterback that can run as well. So it's not just in the running backs in the backfield; it'll be stopping the quarterback as well. So it's going to be a tough task. I think this league, even though some of these records are not great, I think it's a pretty even foundation.
Right.
Pretty much most of these teams, again, Texas State showed it. They were over in the conference and coming here and play like they were the best team in the conference. And I think South Alabama's kind of that team, too. They're kind of looking to get to that next level. They've had our number. They've beat us every time they've played us, so it's going to be a game where we got to play extremely well.
You know, I've always been surprised in covering all kinds of sports how superstitious coaches and players are about a lot of things that are totally illogical and irrational. But the fact that the Jags are undefeated against Southern Miss, even a little bit, do you think players and coaches even think about that? And like, how can one team just have our number like that?
I mean, they know it. I mean, I'm sure that's something they've talked about all week long. But truth be told, I mean, there's 10 or 12 guys on this roster that's played South Alabama in a black and gold uniform. So, and I know South Alabama beat Coach Huff 2 years ago, and he was at Marshall. So this team knows. They know this team of Southern Miss. They know them well. But the Southern Miss team, they just got to be ready. They got to have finished a great week of practice, and I know they have. I know Coach Huff's had them extremely focused this week. So it's just going to be a game where they got to go play their best and really not think about the past, but think about what's in front of them, and that's an opportunity to win Saturday and then come back home for Senior Day and play Troy and hopefully for a Western Conference title.
You called the game last week, so obviously you saw it. Considering that Liddy, let's just hypothetically say that Liddy starts, does that mean the O-line has to give him another half second or so to get rid of the ball?
Yeah, I mean, he's not a guy that's going to move like Braylon, you know. But even if Braylon is the guy behind center, he's not moving at 100% most likely either. So I think it's a key. You got to have great play up front by the offensive line. They've got to be able to hold out the Jaguar defenders, and they've got to be able to open up holes. We've got to be able to run the football as well. I think if we can run the football, if we can kind of match what South Alabama does on the ground, that'll help Liddy in multiple ways.
I mean, you know, everybody knows what South Alabama's game plan in this game is going to be. It's going to be run the ball, chew the clock, and try to put themselves in a position to win the game at the end of the game. I think you're going to be looking at something very similar to what Louisiana tried to do against the Southern Miss team. Lee, I'm interested to hear your thoughts on the defense because, of course, they've given up a ton of yards all season, but, you know, they were able to get the turnovers and, you know, kind of the yards didn't matter because teams weren't scoring. Texas State, I thought, found the kind of balance in that where they're able to get the yards on the short passes and, you know, they were turning 3-yard passes into 12, 15-yard plays and running the ball just that their offensive line just destroyed Southern Miss in the trenches. South Alabama has a very similar offensive style that the Texas State had. So what do you think the adjustment should be for Southern Miss on the defensive front?
I mean, I think you got to be strong at the defensive line. I mean, you got to be willing to hold your ground and allow your linebackers to move freely. I think that's going to be an important part that Southern Miss focused on this week because they know that they got whooped up front. They know they got beat by the short passes and converted to longer passes. I mean, it was a running game that dominated us, and then they picked up big plays when they needed to as well. I think it's kind of getting back to just the normal style of play that we've seen out of Southern Miss through the majority of this season. Again, this is a team that they've bent at times. They haven't broken, but I feel like last week we got broke. I think Texas State just kind of saw some weaknesses and exposed them. And because that's out there, South Alabama, to your point, is going to probably try to do the same.
All right, Lee Roberts, always great to get your input and expertise on what the Eagles have in front of them this Saturday afternoon at 2:30. And I'm sure we're going to get to talk to you next week before Thanksgiving. I was just going to wish you happy Thanksgiving, but we'll get to talk to you before then. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, sounds good. You'll have a great rest of your week, man, and hopefully we'll go get us a win this weekend.
To the top, Lee Roberts, former Southern Miss quarterback. A reminder that Genesis of Hattiesburg is the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Genesis sedans and SUVs, all from Mississippi's exclusive Genesis dealership on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. And a shout out to Mobay Beignet Company at 2902 Hardy Street. When it comes to Black Friday or any Christmas shopping that you might be doing in the upcoming weeks, why not start out your morning with hot or cold coffee at Mobay Beignet and have some of those fresh beignets. And don't forget the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast, Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or you can just ask Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. When we come back, there is Sunbelt football action tonight on the field. Dima will break that game down for us. Plus, the women's volleyball team opening the Sunbelt Conference Tournament in just a few moments. We'll update all that and have more stuff when the Eagle Hour continues.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
This segment brought to you by 4th Street Bar and Grill. They will have all the Sunbelt Conference football games on the big screens there at 4th Street, including tonight's game that we're going to talk about momentarily. And they are open Thanksgiving afternoon, one of the few establishments that will be open Thanksgiving afternoon. So people are coming to town. If they're in from college or whatever, everybody kind of goes to 4th Street and hangs out.
Or to get out of the house.
Or to get, yeah.
That's
get
what our family did.
Get away from the outlaw, I mean in-laws.
Yeah.
Are you referring to yourself, Kelly?
That might be, well, when you're used to just having a couple of people around and then all of a sudden there's 20 and there's kids screaming and yelling and three or four dogs.
Serenity now.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes it's
you know how many times Kelly's told me that he just sits at home for Thanksgiving all alone? And he wonders why.
I don't have a problem with it, though.
Some people like
you. I really don't. But if I were to ever to get down or depressed or feel bad, I would go to Forest Health. They remind you that keeping up with your favorite
thing. I think this is the second time we've read their line.
Is fun. No, not today.
I think so.
I don't remember. I don't listen to the show.
Well, don't forget that the most important player is you. Get your annual physical and be sure that your health is as good as it can be. Forest Health can help you with expert medical care closer to home. Forest, that's with two R's, foresthealth.org. We talked about that Sunbelt game, Dima. The Cajuns go up to Arkansas State to take on the Red Wolves tonight. And I thought this would be kind of a slam dunk for the Red Wolves, but the Cajuns playing pretty well right now.
Yeah, they've won two straight, the Cajuns have, and should be interesting to see you know, how Arkansas State responds to the loss to Southern Miss, because they had a bye week last week. So the status of Jalen Rayner is kind of up in the air. I think he was listed as game time decision on the Sunbelt availability report. So should be an interesting game tonight. Both teams still trying to clinch bowl eligibility. Arkansas State only needs one win. Louisiana needs two. So should be an interesting game tonight at 6:30 on ESPN. As for the Sunbelt availability report, Braylon Braxton was listed as questionable last night when the initial availability report came out. Something I said on Monday was, you know, since Huff felt better on Tuesday of the press conference about Braylon playing, but they wouldn't really know until he saw him in practice, because when we talked to him on Tuesdays, it's before they practice Tuesday and Wednesday, so they haven't really, like, seen them going. So I think it's interesting that he was labeled as questionable after practice on Wednesday night, which tells me that I would say it's probably a 50-50 shot, you know, Braylon's going to play. And so which in my head, if he's questionable, if he's still feeling something weird, I don't know why you would risk it. I don't know. You might feel something different. And I know, I get, you know, Huff and his relationship with his players, but I think some sort of strategy, you know, is also going through his mind as well, of a head coach being like, I get my player, but I also have to be a head coach of my football team. And I know that next week's game is when we need him 100%.
One of the other things that Huff has done masterfully, I think, this year is held his cards to his vest. I mean, there's not a lot of media availability at practices. You are able to, you know, interview players during the week, but you're not there at practice, so you can't see any hobbling that might be taking place or work with the trainer or anything like that. And that is a self-preservation move, because that way your opponent really doesn't have any idea as to who they're preparing for. Although, as Craig Stevenson from AL.com told us at the top of the show, Jaguars are preparing for both of them, and that, of course, is the prudent move.
for sure.
But if you had to roll the dice right now, Demo, would you? I would think that Liddy would be the starter.
I would think so too. I don't know. I just feel like if there's any inclination that he's not 100%, I just don't know why you would play him more than to, you know, get him some reps. I could maybe see that, maybe a drive or two if the game's out of hand or something. I don't know. But I just think that you're better off not playing him, because I think this team can win with Liddy on the field against South Alabama. I mean, this team should beat them with Liddy. So we'll see. It might explain why the line is so tight for a 7-3 team versus a 3-7 team. But yes, if I had to bet on it on Thursday afternoon, I would say Liddy is more than likely the starter on Saturday.
Meanwhile, the volleyball team is underway at the Sunbelt Conference volleyball tournament. They are playing a play-in game, essentially, against Georgia State right now, and then the winner will face Arkansas State tomorrow, which is the number one seed from the West. But the Eagles off to a good start.
Yeah, it was 15-11 in the first set last I checked, so looking good to start, and we'll see what happens and follow that closely and have the news tomorrow of whether or not they won or lost, and if they win, what time the game with Arkansas State is and stuff like that.
And remember, they beat Arkansas State early in the year up in Jonesboro, so Southern Miss matches up well against Arkansas State, and that would be big if they could get beyond the second round of the conference tournament, again being staged in Foley, Alabama. Now, a couple of programming notes. No show on Thanksgiving Day or the day after, because there's a football game that a couple of other schools in Mississippi are playing.
Is that an important one? Not really.
I don't even know who's playing.
I don't know.
I'll be working my leftovers.
Who's coaching is the real question.
Siri, yeah. Who's playing on the 28th?
Yeah, Michael will get her to answer. Yeah. Well, but next Tuesday, we are going to be at Prancer Path up in Laurel. We're taking the show on the road. We were at Prancer Path.
Where were we at?
Last year. Prancer Path.
In where?
In Laurel,
oh,
yes. Yeah, you're going to have to go to Laurel, Dima.
I won't be here.
No. Bob will be rejoining us on Tuesday as well, but me, Dima, and Michael will hold down the fort this weekend and Monday as well. Another great show again tomorrow, including Patrick McGee from the NFL, and Dima has an interview with one of the offensive linemen at Southern Miss. That's tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Until then, from all of us to all of you, Southern Miss
to the top. Into the future. Time keeps on slipping into the future.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.